All right.
That was a good rant.
Speaking about BS and nonsense, Robert Munoz is now joining us in a few moments. He's done an amazing explosive documentary. We'll call it explosive, right? And anything with Bill Watcott is going to be explosive. Now, Bill Watcott, how would you describe Bill Watcott, Ron Gray?
I would describe him as a really strong and committed warrior. This is a guy who will stand up and say, not to my kids you're not going to, or in particular his concern about abortion, but also and also homosexuality. You know, he simply stands in your face and says, don't do that to people that I love.
Well, and he speaks truth. I mean, some of the stuff, I admit, I cringe. But you know what? By golly, I'll defend his right to speak truth regardless of the name and label he wants to put on it. He is not giving misinformation. He's not twisting the truth. He's telling it like it is.
Yeah.
And for this, he gets a documentary. I'm impressed. Robert Munoz, are you with us?
I am with you.
Robert, you are joining us from the Niagara Falls area. You're a producer, director, and a screenwriter. You've been involved in the entertainment industry for a lot of years. What brings you to a project that involves the legendary Bill Watcott?
Well, I met Bill, I would say, almost 20 years ago in Toronto when we were running a small theater there out of a church, and he was one of the guys that showed up, and we did a whole lot of work in that theater, and at one point we were interested in the work of Linda Gibbons, actually, who Bill introduced me to. So we wrote a play about her, and Bill took a very small part in that play. So my relationship to him goes back almost a little more than a decade and a half.
Wow.
And he, I guess from the relationship, was unforgettable.
Unforgettable is right. If you could speak up a little bit, I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing.
Sure, I can do that. I can go on another. I'll go in my rant voice, and then you'll have to listen to me.
Robert, can you describe the structure of this film for me? How did you put it together? How does it come together? What is its theme?
We went out west, and we filmed him for about a week and a half, starting in Edmonton, and then we moved east across the country. We ended up in Regina. We filmed him in a number of locations where he had actively run as, I think he ran as mayor of Regina also before.
Oh, he did, yes.
He ran as mayor of Edmonton. So we filmed him in his native habitat, as it were. And he's a fun guy. We did a pre-screening for a seminary group about a month ago of an earlier cut of the film. And the structure of the film, it just takes us showing some of his antics, because Bill is just a fun, outrageous guy. And for the first 20 to 25 minutes, the test audience just laughed. We're having a good time at just the craziness of him. But then the film takes a turn, and it becomes very, very serious, and we realize that there are some very, very serious issues at stake, which have to do with our ability and our right to say the kind of things that we want to say and the kind of society that we live in.
Well, and I think with the Watcott story, you know, shows how tenuous those rights and liberties are, and how there's different mechanisms set up within Canada, Robert, that deter you and bully you into compliance and try to fold you into this conformity of what, you know, this politically correct mentality requires from our citizenry. Bill Watcott refused to conform. He refused to comply, and instead he stood and fought. This has gone through human rights tribunals. This has gone through the courts, and now we're heading up to the Supreme Court of Canada. Does the documentary go in depth to all the various legal maneuverings that have gone on through this whole case?
It takes us through the history of the different cases he's had, which number eight in number, and each time he would lose initially, and then the case would either be dropped, and then it would be challenged, and he would win. And this is what happened with his Saskatchewan human rights trial. He lost, and now it's going to the Supreme Court, and it's going to have a very significant impact on the kind of society that we have in. And we're, as you know, we are drifting towards a totalitarian kind of a nation, and this is critical that this be one, that we be able to retain some of the rights that we're used to.
Now, I'm going to ask our producer to bring up a clip that we have, the trailer that's available on YouTube, and I actually attached it to our announcement, and we'll make sure, I think it's probably available on our homepage on our website here at Roadkill.
It is.
But this is, you know, I just sat and smiled when I watched the trailer for this production. Brilliant job, Robert. I mean, my hat is off to you for the 3-minute glimpse you've given into this. I'm sold. I mean, I'm going to get me a copy of this documentary. Let's have a look at it. And when we come back, you can talk about how it's going to be distributed, where people can see it or view it or obtain it. But I'm getting the thumbs up, so here we go.
All right.
The Saskatchewan Court of Appeals has overturned the Human Rights Tribunal that found Bill Watcott guilty of exposing queer people to hatred.
But that's not something the Saskatchewan Human Rights Commission agrees with. They have appealed this to the Supreme Court of Canada.
Okay, you know, there's some sodomites rebelling against Almighty God, so I'm here to tell them the truth.
Bill's one of those kind of guys that you either love him or hate him.
Getting death threats?
I had a few.
No, I'm banned from the United States.
Now I am sure that you've heard, my friend, about the day they said the world would
end. You go to any gay place, they're going to know who I am.
Why don't you come on out and stop pretending?
All is not well in Canada.
You felt secure with that appointment then.
Awesome. She got Scott
and Keith. Stand up, I do stand out. This life's too short to knock it out. Come on and stand up, stand right out. Who's ready to see the end of the world?
Bill Watcott comes along, spreading a message of hate. How he describes homosexuals is hateful.
There have been allegations.
I know he has had homosexual experiences in the past.
So I sold my house to buy this T-shirt.
Well, they were celebrating buggery here.
I asked for a heterosexual family pride parade.
I have never seen a memo from God authorizing Bill Watcott to be judge and jury on morally.
Maybe you won't need it in the morning at the end of the world.
No, I never said suddenly in my life. I never said that.
Because when I stand up, I do stand down. This life's too short to knock it out. Come on and stand up, stand right out. Who's ready to see the end of the world?
Watcott printed 10,000 flyers featuring Edmonton's current mayor placed in between the buttocks of men dancing at a gay pride parade.
Every conservative should own one.
Run like a punk, stand in your punk. Come back the trunk and leave all the junk. Fly to the plug, pull out the trunk. Keep like a skunk and a spew in the junk.
Had he done it in a more civil way, do you think he would be noticed at all?
Okay, Robert, tell us about what's going to happen now. When is this going to come out? When can people see it? How do you get it? Where can you view it? Do you need popcorn?
It will be available later this month and into August. We sent a copy to an American distributor yesterday. The The DVDs will also be available through our website. They'll be shipped in August into September 2011.
What is that website?
$12 and free shipping.
Okay.
Okay, now...
What is that website?
The website... let me see. It's freedomofwatcott.blogspot.com. That's all one word. Freedomofwatcott, W-H-A-T-C-O-T-T .blogspot.com.
Okay, now what kind of distribution are you looking at? How can people help to get this word out? How long is this documentary?
The documentary is about an hour and 10 minutes right now. We have some good connections in the U.S. Ted Baer, who was the movie guide guy, he gave us an excellent review, and he says when it's manufactured that we send some to him. He called it an on-the-edge exposé with watching for adults to be captivated, informed, and equipped.
Hmm.
There is a possibility that it's going to be that David C. Cook may carry it in Canada. I was talking with someone the other day, and so that all remains to be seen. But we're working to get it out there, and hopefully... And I think it has the power to turn this argument around. Bill has been, in spite of his craziness, he's been sort of victimized by the left. You know, he suffered death threats, loss of his career, his education was interrupted. He's been thrown out of, he lost his housing on a number of occasions. So he's somebody who really has paid the price for what he is doing, and in some ways he deserves to be recommended.
Yeah, it's interesting. Bill Watcott does street theater on behalf of what he believes in,
mm-hmm.
and there are some very powerful people working very hard to shut him down.
Actually, I'm going to disagree with you, Ron. I don't think he does street theater. I think he exercises his rights as a Canadian citizen.
Well,
and that's freedom of expression.
That's it.
Freedom of expression. Tell truth.
Yeah. Very powerful people trying to shut him down. By the way, I noticed in the trailer a couple of references there to the gay pride parades. Did you notice that in the Vancouver City Council, both parties, Vision Vancouver and the NPA, are supporting a proposal to make the taxpayers pay for the policing and the cleanup of that annual parade. My reaction to that was, if they would actually clean it up, that is, take some of the filth out of the parade, maybe it would be worthwhile. But that's an abuse of the taxpayer of the worst sort. And so are cases against people like Bill Watcott, who want to simply make a public declaration of the truth.
Well, you know what? I'm reading right off the Supreme Court of Canada's case information with regard to this case, which, before I get to, Robert, that leads me to this next question. If your documentary is coming out within the next month or so, there is going to have to be a sequel.
We'll see how the Supreme Court decides. Hopefully, they will decide in his favor. If they do not, this will have draconian results on what we're able to say and what we're not able to say. There is a tremendous amount at stake in how this comes. There are, as you know, a record number of interveners. Without all of them even being allowed to make an intervention in the proceedings of the Supreme Court. This is the case of the century. I think you were the one that said that. That's actually quoted in the documentary itself that we have.
Yes, actually, Roadkill Radio plays a role in this documentary. I have to tell all of our fans another reason why you have to get a copy of this documentary when it comes out, and we will be promoting it for you, Robert. I'll undertake to do that at this moment in time to get this documentary out, at least distribute it to let people know it's available, okay? I want to read something that concerns me out of the Supreme Court of Canada And most people will know I have no confidence, and I think that's shared with a lot of Canadians, in the Supreme Court of Canada application of the law. Their judicial antics and shenanigans are at, you know, so overt and blatant now that I don't think they have the moral authority to make any decision on any case, let alone one involving truth. But this is what the case summary says in the matter defining what the Watcott case is. Does sexual orientation include sexual practices? So right away we're being told that the court doesn't believe that orientation is a practice, that it's something else that nobody has yet defined. Okay, does sexual orientation include sexual practices? And if so, to what extent is it possible to love the sinner and hate the sin so that hateful messages directed at conduct do not violate hate propaganda provisions of the human rights legislation? Then they go on to define Bill Watcott this way. I'm not sure. Have you seen this information, Robert?
I have not.
Okay, they go on to define Bill like this. The respondent, on behalf of Christian Truth activists, distributed four flyers in the mailboxes of various homes in Saskatoon and Regina between 2001 and 2002. Four persons who received the flyers filed complaints alleging that the material in them, quote, promotes hatred against individuals because of their sexual orientation, in violation of Section 14.1b of the Code. The applicant appointed a tribunal to hear the complaints. The tribunal concluded the flyers contravened the code, so Bill Watcott at that level was found guilty.
Mm-hmm.
The respondent appealed, arguing that he was exercising his right to freedom of expression and freedom of religion. Well, yeah, exactly. Well, not to mention truth. I think truth has to keep coming in here. And that the flyers did not violate the code. Alternatively, he argued that if the materials exhibit hate, it is directed towards sexual behavior, which is not a prohibited ground. If sexual behavior is a prohibited ground within the meaning of sexual orientation, he argued, then it is overboard and should be inoperative to the extent that it conflicts with Section 4 and 5 of the Code and the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedom. So I think this is going to be a huge case.
It is.
And I would have very little confidence in the Supreme Court of Canada. They have too much at stake here because they've made so many decisions that are just based on air and nonsense. Now Bill Watcott comes along on the very issues. He's slicing and dicing the issue to exactly what it's going to need to be talked about. You know, is sexual orientation proved by a behavior, or is it a fluid orientation that can change moment by moment, day by day, depending on how you're feeling? Interesting debate. And
is there indeed any definition of that term in law? I don't think there is.
Well, no, because the Supreme Court of Canada in Vreen read into law it is what sexual orientation is, contrary to what the legislature wanted and all the rest of it. Remember, the legislature in Alberta said, no, homosexuality does not fit in under the purview of what is protected under sexual the areas of discrimination.
Yeah, but what the Supreme Court did there was they read that phrase into the Alberta Individual Rights Act, but they didn't define it. And no one has yet defined it, except, for example, the two experts that appeared before the Senate committee and said...
Well, they didn't define sexual orientation. They said, if we're going to define sexual orientation the way we've just been willy-nilly, dare use that term, embracing any form of anything, then we need to include pedophilia because it's the same orientation that's akin to homosexuality.
They said pedophilia was an orientation.
Yes.
Another judge said that voyeurism, being a peeping Tom, was an orientation.
Albeit deviant.
But no court has yet defined what is meant by sexual orientation. And, well, you'll remember that Jean Chrétien in 1981 said, said, that phrase don't belong in any law because nobody knows what it means.
Well, and then we have the convoluted one by Bill Sixgay, remember, under the transgendered issue, right? People have tried, but basically the definition is whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, well, and that's pretty loose for a bill that can, you know, a law that can put people in jail.
Willy-nilly and loosey-goosey, is that it?
That's it.
Robert?
There's one point I'd like to make, if I can. The whole issue is being cast in the framework of homophobia, which I have a new definition of homophobia, and as we made this film, there were numerous people who refused to be interviewed for this. Leaders, there were bishops, there were especially people in the church. It was surprising to me how fearful people are of this topic, because they feel that there's real power that will undermine their position and their stability within society. And homophobia really has to do more, not so much with fear of homosexuals, but with the fear of homosexual power and the agenda that is driving this. And that's why I made the film, is to fight this thing, to call a spade, and to let people know that we need to courageously stand up and speak the truth about, as this film does. There are statistics in this film. There's a book that we make reference to that Bill used in his court case by Dr. Satin over, I think, The Politics of Homosexuality is what the name of the book
is. Homosexuality and the Politics of Truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it explicitly in detail gives statistics about the homosexual lifestyle, and Bill's right or anybody's right to comment on that has to be kept in public view so that people can make informed decisions. And this is really what is being attempted, is to keep informed decision making away from the public and really to make this whole thing obscure.
Robert, you're so right on that. I mean, right down to what we see happening here in Burnaby, where you're only permitted to speak in a positive way about people's sexual orientation. That would take away anybody's ability to talk about the true facts associated with the medical consequences of homosexual sex. All
right.
Kinds of things. We, you know, the truth hurts, and, you know, it can hurt a political agenda really bad. What's going to be interesting, because that's what this is about. It's about silencing truth on this subject matter. And, you know, I personally want to thank you for having the vision to create this tool. And I see not only is this a documentary of enlightenment, but it is a tool for people to understand where we are at in this nation, what is going on, what people are having to go through who dare to speak the truth. And you're bang on that definition of homophobia. And, you know, but, you know, it concerns me where the church leaders are in such fear. It would be really nice if they would come out of the gate, and, you know, eventually they're going to have to, because you can only be pushed into the wall so far, and then you only have one place to go, and it's out.
By the way, Robert, the earliest reference I've been able to find to the term homophobia was in 1962, and in that instance it was used as a homosexual person's fear of being perceived to be homosexual.
Right,
if you like, when I get home tonight, I'll email the reference for that to you. But it is in fact a fake word, because it is not a phobia.
Yes, it is, right.
A phobia is an irrational fear of what, and in this case of homo. Homo means self, so it'd be fear of yourself. That's absurd. But it's an invented word that seems to have a kind of medical ring about it, so that it can be quoted and it sounds like a scientific term. But there, in no medical dictionary is there a definition of homophobia. It's an invented word that the radical gay activists use to hang on people. Once you label someone, you don't have to continue listening to them.
Well, you know, this has been the war of language, right?
Yeah.
And people are too busy apologizing and taking, you know, getting hurt by little name calling. Well, I'll tell you, Bill Watcott isn't one of those people.
That's
and
true.
And I suspect your documentary will prove that.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, Robert, make sure we're put on your list to be notified when this becomes available, and we'll certainly revisit this whole subject matter at that point in time, okay?
Appreciate that very much.
All right.
Let us know the distribution so
yes,
that we...
Yes, we'll keep you informed.
Good.
Super. Good
Thank
night,
you.
Robert. Thanks.
Yep.
You know, I am, you know, there's very few things that I kind of really get mischievously excited about, and I have to tell you, this is one of them. You people, you have to go, I apologize again for the audio malfunction, but go to our website after the show, and the clip is only, I think, just a little bit over three minutes. But it's hard hitting. It will make you smile. It'll make you go, wow. It'll make you blush. At least, well, it actually did me, and it takes a lot for me to blush. But, you know, I am mischievously looking forward to this because I suspect that this documentary is not only going to be fun, but it's going to paint this whole issue in the proper perspective. You know, I'm not sure they're going to be so willing to take the Supreme Court of Canada to task, you know, without knowing what the decision is. But I'll tell you, if the Supreme Court of Canada chooses to step outside, like it so often does, of the rule of law to make a judgment convenient to their political agenda, I think that there will be a revolution in this country that will start at the foot of the steps of the Supreme Court of Canada and move right across this nation. Because I think people are fed up with this subject matter, fed up with our liberties being taken, fed up with our money being taken and shoveled to these organizations that are there to destroy our children and families. And, you know, enough is enough, Ron Gregg. Yeah. I'm at that point. I am so, what is that word, ramped for this war and, you know, what it means to Canadians in our liberties and freedoms.
And as Terry and Mark were bringing up last week when talking with their guests, the judges, since 1982, since the Charter, the judges have become political activists.
Absolutely.
And someday that's got to stop.
Well, and hopefully Carrie Simpson will have a little bit to do with that because
I hope so.
I have some plans, as you well know.